W Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News Special Report, I'm Wayne Cabot. The U.S. Supreme Court has just ruled on transgender minors. It says the existing ban on gender-affirming care stands. The ban stands. ABC's Stephen Portnoy says the ruling is strictly on ideological lines.
It's a 6-3 ruling upholding Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care, such as puberty blockers, hormones, and surgery for minors. Chief Justice John Roberts writes, the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause does not prohibit the state from enacting such a law, and that the issue is for the people and their elected representatives, not the courts, to decide. Liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote a dissent, and she said she did so in sadness, adding that the court, quote, abandons transgender children and their families to political whims.
There are about 300,000 people between the ages of 13 and 17 who identify as transgender in the U.S., according to the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Another scam is rearing its ugly little head in the city of Green Bay. Sophisticated phishing scams are targeting residents, property owners, and local businesses involving Green Bay City permit applications and board or committee processes. The city is warning that the fraudulent scheme involves emails that appear to come from city officials or departments. The emails use official city logos, addresses, and other legitimate details. They then request urgent payment of thousands of dollars for permit or application review fees. The city is warning residents not to respond to these emails. Don't click on any links or provide personal data. For more details and examples of what the scam emails look like, see the story on our website. Speaking of scams, the New Community Shelter, a homeless shelter in Green Bay, was the victim of a $90,000 scam. They thought they had received a generous donation. That was not the case. Almost all of the funding for the New Community Shelter does come from donations from businesses, organizations, and individuals. The shelter's currently raising funds for a housing complex and is also trying to raise its budget to allow the emergency shelter, transitional housing, and community meal program to continue. The early July court dates for Judge Hannah Dugan might be pushed back. The case against the Milwaukee County judge may be delayed as the court considers her motions to dismiss charges. A scheduling hearing is set for today to review the arguments. Prosecutors argue Dugan is not entitled to judicial immunity for allegedly helping an undocumented man evade immigration agents. Her defense team says her actions were official judicial acts protected by centuries of legal precedent. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News, WGBW.FM.
It's the Cubs and the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 2 of a 3-game series between the Cubs and the Brewers tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago winning last night 5-3. Milwaukee's Chad Patrick lasted 5 innings before turning it over to the bullpen. Pat Murphy.
I thought Chad Patrick did a nice job. He had a little struggle in the 5th there, third time around. I thought Mears and Rob Z, at least for the first inning, and Anderson were really good. So a lot of positives from it. You know, a lot of good things tonight, so I'll stick with that right now.
NBA Finals, the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with a strained calf muscle. No word if he'll play when the Pacers host the Thunder tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers' new president, Ed Policy, on the Lions, Vikings, and Packers this season.
You know, it's pretty exciting because I don't think the entire NFL has ever been more competitive than it is right now. And I think our division is not only the most competitive division in football right now, but maybe in the history of the NFL.
That's the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On and off rain today, which could be heavy at times, and cloudy skies with highs only reaching the mid-70s. With some sunshine to start the day tomorrow, we will see more showers and storms midday and another round at night, which could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress,
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Mino and the Mayor.
Show the picture he showed me today in the striped little short shorts.
No, it was the belly.
They would be banned now.
I know. No, John.
Too much skin.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Oh, man, short shorts.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings, 6 till 9. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always go back and listen at civicmedia.us. Also, we have a YouTube channel.
We have a YouTube channel. You can also subscribe to the shows as a podcast. There are so many ways to not just listen to us live, whether it's terrestrial radio or the app, but also to catch up if you've missed anything.
Yep. So just go to our website, civicmedia.us, click on shows, and then scroll down, click on, we have archives at least up to 100 shows for all of us here at Civic Media, so check that out. And we have baseball action coming up later on today, 6:30. Our broadcast will start the crew at the Cubs. You can listen on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. Crew at the Cubs today at 6:30. Wanted to start with something that we did talk about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Senator Mike Lee of Utah.
Honorable and nice.
Yeah, what a fine human being.
Yeah.
After the assassination of the Minnesota lawmaker and her husband and the attempt on another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife, Republican Senator Mike Lee put up on social media, this is what happens when Marxists don't get their way. In another post, he linked the suspect in these killings to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, calling it Nightmare on Walz Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real funny.
Yeah, real funny.
Real funny.
Another Senator Tina Smith actually chased him down yesterday.
Minnesota Senator.
Minnesota Senator Tina Smith confronted him about this and said, you know, this is a really hateful, hurtful thing that you're doing, and this is not helping the situation. Could take him down.
Yeah.
Which he has.
He has taken them down.
He has taken those comments off of social media. Of course, social media is forever.
Yeah, you can find those tweets forever. They're screenshotted, they're reported upon. They live in the annals of Mike Lee's cruel, disgusting history.
Tina Smith said this just further fuels hatred and misinformation because, as we now know, the gunman in this instance is a Republican.
He certainly wasn't a registered Democrat, as everyone was trying to tell me over the weekend, screaming into my face via social media. He was not a registered. You know what? He wasn't even a Republican. He was a mentally ill man.
He has issues.
Yes. He's not a man who's well.
He's got issues. But yes, Senator Mike Lee did ultimately take down those social media posts, but he has not apologized.
No.
Because he never apologized in Trump land.
You can't. I mean,
that's the worst thing you can do.
And those social media posts would probably still exist had Senator Smith not confronted him. And
it was actually Amy Klobuchar.
Oh, really?
It was Amy Klobuchar, another lawmaker from Minnesota, who apparently has worked with Mike Lee on some legislation in the past, and she talked to him, and that's the reason he took them down.
But that just, I mean, that also, that just proves my point is, if he hadn't been spoken to, nothing would have happened.
No.
And the moment someone got in his face and said, hey, what you're doing is gross and disgusting.
And hurtful.
Like, oh, okay, I guess. You know what I mean? It just goes to that thing of they don't think when they do these things. They know they're going to get engagement. They know they have an audience. They know there are people out there who are like, yeah, got him. Burnt. Got him. No, that's not how this works. And you know, how? And Greg, how do you make this? How do you make this relate to Wisconsin? Because we have our very own spewer of disgusting things on social media, Mr. Derek Van Orten,
yep.
Who, in my opinion, Jane, if you ran a business,
okay,
and you hired somebody and you saw that they were tweeting as much as Derek Van Orten was during the day, would you ask the question, when do you get work done?
I might ask that question.
It is not only the fact, the sheer volume with which he tweets, but
are you talking about DVO or
DVO?
Okay.
Well, Mike Lee is also.
Mike Lee too.
But also just the bile that comes out of that man's head is disgusting. And he, I mean, I'm not saying I respect it, but he doesn't take stuff down. He's like, I said what I said, deal with it. Because he knows he has an audience, he knows he has supporters, and he knows that he's going to get engagement. And that is just for clout.
Well, and again, the worst thing you can do in Trump world is apologize.
Oh, that is.
You never apologize. You never back down. You just double down. That's what you do.
You never accept blame.
Ever. It's somebody else's fault.
It's always somebody else's fault. I mean, those, and that is not even a thing we're making up. These are the tenets of the man who mentored Donald Trump, Roy Cohn.
Yes.
You deflect, yes. Never apologize.
Blame.
Never take responsibility.
Ever. But again, Mike Lee has taken down those posts, neglected to apologize for that, which that would be taking it way too far.
Yeah.
I never expected that to happen. Something else that happened yesterday, though, that I think is very important that we all be aware of, because this keeps happening now. New York City's comptroller, who is running to be the next mayor of New York, was handcuffed and arrested yesterday while guiding a defendant out of immigration court. Brad Lander, New York City's comptroller, was arrested, quote, for assaulting law enforcement and impeding a federal officer, unquote. He was later released after being held for several hours. Mm-hmm. He said he certainly did not assault an officer. He was standing in the hallway and he asked to see their warrant.
Yeah. And this is now the third instance. Starting here in Milwaukee,
Judge Hannah
Dugan. I've watched the video. She doesn't whisk him away in some back closet. That's a secret passage that gets him onto a plane and out of the country. And then we have Senator Alex Padilla from California,
yep.
Who went to a press conference, asked a question,
identified himself,
was wearing a shirt that said Senate, and was forcibly removed, thrown to the floor, and detained. Corey Lewandowski, you know, the raging liberal.
Yeah.
Okay. Had to tell them, this is a senator. What are you doing right now?
What are you doing?
So this is the beginning. And Judge Hannah Dugan was the start of it. These are messages. And
absolutely.
I don't apologize for anything. This is the MO. If you try to get in the cop's way, if you try to get ICE's way, it is always you are resisting, you are impeding, you are obstructing, and that's the ballgame. That is what allows them to put cuffs on you, regardless of whether you are doing it or not. It's their justification.
ICE arresting Brad Lander for asking questions, because again, all he asked was to see the warrant.
Yep.
Is a stunning abuse of power and threat to our democracy. Arresting a public official, the duly elected comptroller of New York, for asking questions is dangerous intimidation and shows a wanton disregard for the will of the people. 855-752-4842. My question for you at this time, if you have seen photos of ICE,
mm-hmm.
They have no identification on them. In this instance yesterday, they had no ID on them.
Yeah.
They're wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
They're wearing T-shirts and flannel shirts and jeans.
Yeah, they look like regular people wearing masks.
They look like kidnappers.
Yeah.
So are we teaching our kids now, your 9-year-old daughters and sons if a van pulls up and 5 men jump out with masks wearing t-shirts, jeans, and a flannel shirt with no identification? Are we telling our kids to get in the van with them? Is that what we're doing now?
I mean, honestly, Jane, I don't think those kids would have a choice. You know what I mean?
That's going beyond. But again, how is this okay? How is it okay that these people do not have to have any identifiers on them? Mm-hmm. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I really don't. And I don't think that they should be doxxed. I don't think we should be chasing down their families mm-hmm. if they work for ICE. I think that's wrong. But at the same time, I think allowing them to be masked with no ID is wrong. That's really wrong.
And for someone to resist that sort of behavior I think it's very much in the for I'll just switch it to an adult really quick. If you are an adult and 5 people in flannels, masks, no badges, no identification, nothing being told, and they just start detaining you, your first thing is to be like, who are you? What is going on? All you're fighting to get away. That's just human nature. You want to know what's going on. You want to know why this is happening. And if they're not willing to tell you what's going on, that to me, and I say this with the intention, I would like to ask Jim Santel this, is this a violation of your constitutional rights? You are being detained without the due process of Miranda. You are being detained without being told what's going on. There's no knowledge of why this is happening to you. And you're right. I don't know if a judge has to come down and say ICE agents must have at the very least a badge and identifying.
They got to be ID'd. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, this is a basic.
It's a basic in our mind, but constitutionally, legally, I don't know. It's
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for calling in. What do you want to say about this?
With ICE, you know, we've already had our Kent State moment, and that was this weekend when they broke into the homes and started killing people. With ICE, I've seen it a couple of times now. If the crowd's big enough, ICE gets out of there. They know they can't be overwhelmed, you know, thousands of people. They just don't have the manpower. When that happens, pictures are taken or we got identification. We have to demand identification, badge numbers, and all of that the minute they're incarcerated. Now, if James Santel was on the show with you today, I do believe each one of those agents could be sued in civil court. Once those ICE agents would understand anybody held in American that's detained illegally can come after you personally, you're in trouble.
I mean, that's what I'd love for Jim to clarify for us. And that's, you know, and that's
he's going to be here tomorrow.
And that's another point, too, to discuss really quick when it comes to the horrible tragedy that happened in Minnesota. The man who perpetrated this was dressed up like an ICE agent.
Yes.
He's dressed up like an officer.
Yes. And that's the other thing I've seen on social media. After that happened with this man dressing up as law enforcement mm-hmm. and gaining access to folks' homes, but because of that, the instructions from Minnesota law enforcement was if an officer shows up at your door, you call 911 to make sure that he's actually an officer. So what are we supposed to do now? If someone shows up at my house with identification, I should call 911. But if 5 guys in jeans and T-shirts and flannel with masks have no idea, but those, I should jump in the van with them.
Yeah.
This is where we are.
Oh, and I mean, that's surprising because when Tony Evers tried to give advice on what to do if ICE shows up, the borders are, and Tom Tiffany all said, you're going too far. There's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
Because we just want to, you know, retain rights in this democracy.
855-752-4842 is the number to call if you want to join us. Gene, we will take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Have you been looking for an excuse to get fresh ink? Boy, do I have a good one for you. Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And this Saturday from noon till 4 at the Hive Aesthetics in Appleton, they're holding their first annual fundraiser, Ink for a Cause. It's benefiting Children's of Wisconsin. It's going to be a fun day featuring amazing vendors like the Hive, Little Birdies, Lumitox, and so much more. This is the excuse you've been waiting for. Head to WGBW.FM and click events to find out more.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before the break, we were talking about the arrest yesterday of the New York City comptroller who was essentially accompanying people who were going for immigration hearings. ICE was there. He asked to see their warrant. They arrested him. He was subsequently released several hours later, so he is out of custody. And then we were also talking about why it's okay for ICE agents to show up with no identification.
Yeah.
No badge, no name badge, no nothing. They just show up in jeans, a t-shirt, a flannel shirt, a mask. And we're just supposed to assume that we're there with the government?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel perfectly comfortable with that. 855-752-4842. Jean from Eau Claire has been very patient. Good morning, Jean. Thanks for waiting.
I want to apologize for calling again, but I just had a call because, you know, I watch everything live. And I just want to report that the Senate Judiciary is on, and you can watch on FedNet, on on YouTube, but anyway, the Senate Judiciary is having a hearing on President Biden's fitness to serve like a cover-up. So this is what they're spending their valuable time doing, is Biden's fitness to serve, just so people realize what the devil's going on here. They ain't worrying about the people. They're worrying about themselves. I think they should check the guy in office that's making the decisions on wars and all the immigration and stuff, what the devil this guy's doing, and maybe they need to check into that. But I had a quick call and tell you, I couldn't believe it. I had a quick call, yeah. Thank you so much for your coverage. Bye.
Thanks, Gene. Bye. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate that. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all, because the last thing they want to talk about is Trump's fitness.
Or the bill for billionaires, or a war we're about to get into, or... anything else that is awful for this country. And by the way, Gene, I'll just take your statement. I'm going to amend it just a little bit by what they're spending their time on, also our money on, because we pay for those hearings.
Yes.
We pay for those jobs.
Yes.
We pay for those people to get $174,000 a year plus medical insurance for life.
Per diems,
lovely things like that.
There's some nice trips thrown in there, I think.
We should have our own hearings and we should
citizen hearings.
Oh my gosh, we just charge Ron Johnson's private company. Yeah,
I volunteer. We don't have a whole lot of time before we go to the bottom of the hour news. We did want to get talk about this because again, now Israel and Iran exchanging attacks. Donald Trump this morning saying we may get involved, we may not get involved. So there's your answer there.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
We'll just see how I'm feeling.
Right. And I don't think you're far off, actually. No. But there was an interesting exchange.
Oh, my God.
Between Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz of Texas.
When you're done listening to this, folks, you're not going to believe what you just heard, and you're not going to believe who you're going to side with.
Yeah, take a listen to this exchange between Tuck Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz on the issue of war between Iran, Israel, and potentially the U.S.
How many people live in Iran, by the way?
I don't know the population.
At all?
No, I don't know the population.
You don't know the population of the country you seek to topple?
How many people live in Iran?
92 million.
Okay. Yeah.
How could you not know that?
I don't sit around memorizing population tables.
Well, it's kind of relevant because you're calling for the overthrow of the government.
Why is it relevant whether it's 90 million or 80 million or 100 million? Why is that relevant?
Because if you don't know anything about the country.
I didn't say I don't know anything about
the country. Okay, what's the ethnic mix?
Calm down, Ted.
Ooh. They are Persians and predominantly Shia. Okay,
you don't know anything about Iran. So,
okay,
I am
not the Tucker Carlson expert on Iran.
You're a senator who's calling
boys.
You're the one who claims
boys.
About the country.
No, you don't know anything about the country. You're the one who claims they're not trying to murder Donald Trump.
I'm not saying that.
Who can't figure out if it was a good idea to kill General Soleimani, and you said it was bad.
You don't believe they're trying to murder Trump.
Yes, I do.
Because you're not calling for military strikes against them in retaliation. And if you really believe that.
We're carrying out military strikes today.
You said Israel was.
Right, with our help. Israel is leading them, but we're supporting them.
Well, you're breaking news here because the U.S. government last night denied, the National Security Council spokesman Alex Pfeiffer denied on behalf of Trump that we were acting on Israel's behalf in any offensive capacity.
No, we're not bombing them. Israel's bombing them.
You just said we were.
We are supporting
this is
Israel.
High stakes. Is there... You're a senator. If you're saying the United States government is at war with Iran right now, people are listening.
Okay.
They're so emotional.
I was going to say, Jay, remember when one of those guys ran for president? And remember how they say women are just too emotional?
We're too emotional.
That was amazing to listen to. And I had to watch it twice because I felt like I was watching a joke. And I'm like, you guys realize you turn the cameras on, right?
Yeah.
You turn them on and we can see everything that's happening.
Well, what I kind of love is that Ted Cruz, I assume, went into this assuming it was going to be all softballs.
Yes.
And instead, he got treated like, I don't know, any Democratic person who might have shown up on Tuck's show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so you got to be on the receiving end of the real Tucker, Ted.
Tucker, good job. I truly feel like he treated him exactly how the Republicans feel about Ted Cruz. They've never liked him. They've never respected him.
No one likes Ted Cruz.
And he's never been part of the inner circle. But because he will whatever for the president, he will sell for him and support him after the president said horrible things about he and his family.
Oh, my goodness.
He's like, yeah, Ted, you can come to the party, but you got to bring the plates. You're going to bring the plates. It's fine.
And the utensils.
Yeah, that was.
I'm going to hang on to that just when I'm feeling really badly and having a bad day.
I'm hoping that this is a line of Tucker dunks on Republicans.
I'm going to keep that and play that just before I go to sleep. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, we're going silly, we're turning silly, we're taking the silly tack. Audio Sorbet is on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. When a school district doesn't have enough money to operate or build new facilities, they ask for a tax increase through a referendum. Some state lawmakers want to put a stop to that. Joanne Krulatz has more.
At the Capitol, a bill to restrict how school districts could request tax increases through referendums had a public hearing in the Assembly Education Committee on Thursday. Delafield Republican Representative Cindy Duchow says too many districts are asking for more money. She wonders how much money is too much money for school districts. Eau Claire Democrat Christian Phelps says districts are already practicing fiscal responsibility by asking their voters for a tax increase and wondered why Republicans would want to strip local control from schools. The bill is unlikely to be signed by Governor Tony Evers if it makes it through the legislature.
Meanwhile, some state lawmakers are expressing concerns about this proposed legislation to include a plain language explanation for ballot referendums. The legislation specifies that the explanation should be written by the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, but could be revised by lawmakers afterwards. Critics of the proposal say the legislative majority could have too much control over the process. They also argue that the language of the legislation fails to define exactly what plain language means, and that it lacks an enforcement mechanism to ensure fairness. WGBW has a great newsletter that comes out about twice a week. It has stories of local interest, state news, and sometimes even commentary. There's always something interesting to check out or listen to. Go to WGBW.fm to sign up today. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Carrie Bradshaw, a.k.a. Sarah Jessica Parker, recently spoke to Huffington Post UK. During the interview, she talked about the backlash she received for playing Bradshaw on HBO's Sex and the City. Parker discussed the double standard between men and women and how women are treated differently when they're portrayed as cheaters on TV. Parker made a point to say that her character on And Just Like That is judged similarly decades later. New episodes of And Just Like That premiere Thursdays on Max. For those of you who are like me and live in a remote area, there is good news regarding a new comedy to check out. Friendship is now available to stream, according to the New York Post. The A24 cringe comedy that asks the question, should men have friends, stars Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd and had a modest but successful limited theatrical run. Friendship is available to stream on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On and off rain today, which could be heavy at times, and cloudy skies with highs only reaching the mid-70s. With some sunshine to start the day tomorrow, we will see more showers and storms midday and another round at night, which could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Going to get to audio survey in just a second. Want to thank everybody who took part in our statewide text win Scotty summer contest and our grand prize winners, Trace, listening to WMDX in Madison, and Melissa, listening to WHSM in Hayward, picking up our grand prizes, a getaway either in Door County or Baraboo with a gas card to get you there. And we had many, many other winners, either a Brewers tickets or $100 in cash. Congratulations to everyone. And thank you so much for taking part. The winning does not end, even though that contest has wrapped up.
Yeah.
On Friday. It's free ticket Fridays.
Oh, baby.
It's back this Friday. We are going to be doing essentially the same thing. You've got five chances to win. You want to text in the keyword we will give you on Friday morning using the app, and then you have a chance to pick up a four-pack of tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats, good seats. Free tickets Fridays coming back this Friday. Listen for that keyword with Pat Kreitlow. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Our show, 11 to 2. Tom Hartman, 2 to 4. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Did I get those right?
Wait.
Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. Maggie, 4 to 6.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes, yep. That would be right.
Yeah.
Free ticket Fridays.
We did it.
Back this coming Friday. All right. As we always do, this is a segment called Audio Sorbet. Take a little break from the news, just because we all need a rest.
And we can.
And we can. So we were talking about this as we were setting up this show today, and I'm not even sure how we landed on this. But we're talking about soap operas.
You brought it up.
I don't know how that happened. Yeah. I was talking about Santa Barbara for some reason, and we started talking about soap operas. Mm-hmm. So here is the question for today's audio sorbet. Wide open, no judgment.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. What was your story? We all watched soap operas at one point in our lives, male, female, I don't care.
Yeah.
What was your story, or what was maybe your mother's or your grandmother's story? Couldn't miss it. Don't bug me. From 1 to 2, I'm watching my story.
Yeah.
What was or is your story? Because there's still soaps.
I am going to open it up. I did not clear this, folks, with Jane or Calvin. I will open up the acceptability factor on this for those who will say, wrestling is my stories.
Watching
wrestling.
Pro wrestling. They are male soaps.
They're soaps.
They are.
They're soaps for all.
Yep.
And so if that is your way of kicking back and getting some good stories,
it's
in,
cool.
That's great. It's all good.
You got the heels, right?
Got the baby faces.
Got the good guys and the heels.
Sometimes heels become baby faces. Sometimes baby faces become heels.
The trading.
It's, traitors, there's intrigue and there's
turning and backstabbing.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
The only thing that wrestling misses is a good case of amnesia. Do we ever see amnesia in pro wrestling?
Amnesia, I'm not sure exactly, but there was a storyline like many, many years ago where Linda McMahon, our now Secretary of Education, was in a coma, and she had no idea what was going on. She was unresponsive, and Vince McMahon was a naughty boy during that time. It was a really weird time in the late 90s, early 2000s with wrestling. It was really gross. But, yeah, honestly, the storylines you see in wrestling are the same you see in soap operas. And what I thought was interesting when you mentioned Santa Barbara, I don't even know why you mentioned Santa Barbara.
It was about an actress.
Oh, yes.
She was one of the lead actresses in Santa Barbara who left the show and became a nun.
That's right. And I said that Santa Barbara was the first soap opera that I ever remembered that got canceled, because at that point in my life, you had
Days of Our Lives.
All My Children, General Hospital.
As
The World Turns. They were all on, and they all seem to have been on since the inception of time itself.
Seriously.
And so when Santa Barbara came out, I'm like, oh, there's another soap opera. And they said it's being canceled. I'm like, wait, how? How do you cancel a soap opera? So, yeah. And we were discussing this from the viewpoint of, like, I had never in my life until... up until 1996, fall of 1996, I'd never watched one.
You were in college.
I was in college. I never watched 1 millisecond of a soap opera.
Never.
Never. Because they just seemed like, and one.
So your mom, well, your mom was working.
My
so
mom was, yeah, she worked 9 to 5, and she didn't come home and watch them. She had no interest in soap operas. My dad didn't watch them before work, so there was nothing like that happening in the house. Never watched them, thought they were for girls or for women whatever. But also it just seemed like it was a massive amount of information from all the years past to take in and
understand. All the storylines, the back stories, yeah.
By the end of that school year in May of 1997, I was part of a group that was either between, depending on the day, between 20 to 40 people in the common room
at college at
UW-Wisconsin-Waukesha. Go Hilltoppers. That's not the thing, but it's whatever. Harvard on the Hill. That's what they called it. Harvard on the Hill. We would watch religiously Days of Our Lives at noon every day, Monday through Friday. And it wasn't
20 to 30 college
20
kids.
To 40. It was packed. Sometimes like you had to like, you just sit like crouched next to people. It was packed in there to watch it sometimes. And it wasn't a bunch of 18, 19, and 20 year olds like being whatever, like impetulant and making fun of it. It was shut up. It's on. We're listening. Shh, like shh, shh, shh. I need to know why John Black is back.
Which is hilarious because it's not like you're gonna miss anything because they're gonna recap the whole thing in 2 days.
Oh my gosh. The soap operas, the kings and queens of exposition.
Oh, and just drawing, dragging things out. What is your story? What was your story? I love that you had you had 40 college kids.
Mm-hmm. Real watching, good use of our time.
Yes, watching soap operas.
Yeah.
No shame, no judgment. What was your story? 855-752-4842. Dave from New Berlin, Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Carol from Waukesha, listening on WAUK, like sands through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives. Julie from Wausau, I work nights. Now I watch Seaside Hotel. I never liked soap operas, but my brothers watch them.
Yeah. And then maybe PBS could be considered soap opera. C-SPAN could be a soap opera.
Watching their coverage
of the Congress, definitely a soap opera, especially when they get those callers in. That's hilarious.
Gail from New Berlin listening on WAUK. Dark Shadows all the way. And Ronnie from Horicon. Dark Shadows. It was ahead of his time. I would race home from grade school to watch Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
With the least attractive leading vampire on the planet, Jonathan Frakes.
What I find really funny about Dark Shadows is if you watch reruns now, you can find it anywhere. It's on probably YouTube as well. But it had the set value or the because it was it was a vampire family,
right?
So
it was an old gothic mansion kind of thing.
So there was quote special effects. But if you were also a fan of Doctor Who from the 70s, you're like, oh. You have $40 in that budget. Okay, great. I can see the strings on the bat.
Oh, Dark Shadows was especially well known for that. They would have boom mics, you know, in the middle of the scene. And yeah, they spent a whole lot of money on that. What was your story? 855-752-4842. Jim from Brookfield is on the line. Good morning, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, you're welcome. Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Greg. All right, my go-to can't miss show, and hear me out on this. It was an evening soap opera once a week. It was ER.
That was
a weekly running soap opera with all the drama and the characters and the romance and the, you know, whatever, the catastrophes in the hospital. And that was must-see TV on Thursday night watching ER.
It was essentially General Hospital, but at night.
Yeah. Yeah. With
very well put, Jane. Yes, it was essentially General Hospital PM.
That's so awesome, Jim. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Jim, thank you so much. And I have to amend my statement.
Uh-oh.
When I said before earlier, I officially retract my statement about never watching a millisecond of soap operas.
Because you watched ER?
No.
No.
Growing up, I watched Dallas, Dynasty, and Falcon Crest.
Famous soaps.
Famous nighttime soap. Yes. Oh my gosh, the Carringtons. And
oh,
the
yeah. Oh, Dynasty.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I liked Dallas more than all. That was my favorite of all of them. But
see, that's the one I never watched.
Oh, I loved Dallas. And I was like 7 and 8 when I'm watching these shows.
And
I
Dallas
should not have been watching these shows.
Wow. What was your story? 855-752-4842. It's Audio Sorbet. We are talking soap operas. Roger from Stevens Point, Guiding Light.
Yep.
Carol from Waukesha. Even though The Days of Our Lives was my story, the best soap opera moment was when Scotty caught the bouquet at Luke and Laura's wedding. Oh, Carol, we could sit down and go through a case of wine talking about the whole Luke and Laura storyline.
That was appointment television, wasn't it?
Oh, my God, that wedding. But there was a really twisted backstory to that whole relationship. And, yeah, that's a whole different discussion.
You mean their love wasn't just tried and true from the beginning? And
no, there was a whole rape thing in there.
And, God!
Oh, yeah. It was. And, yeah.
Why did I say anything?
That whole Luke and Laura thing. But yes, it was. Oh, my God. That wedding was probably one of the biggest, the largest viewed things.
Let me check and see.
In history. 855-752-4842. We're talking soap operas. Dick from Oak Creek is joining us. Good morning, Dick. What was your story?
Okay, a tie between Dallas and Dark Shadows.
Okay.
So you were another Dark Shadows fan.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was silly. It was crazy, but it was funny.
What other soap opera could you have that had a vampire and a werewolf?
Right?
Right?
A witch?
A witch? Yeah, the witch and the warlock. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
You're going to go home and watch it on YouTube today, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to go search for Dark Shadows. Thank you, Dick. That's awesome.
Adam on the live stream says, my millennial stories consisted of binging the OC DVDs. Oh, yeah. For people of, like, under the age of 40, the OC was a big thing.
Calvin,
did you have anything?
I never actively watched a soap opera, but my mom stayed home until I was in fourth grade, so she would have them on. She doesn't watch them now, so she must not have liked them that much.
Right.
But I remember Days of Our Lives, obviously, and I actually haven't heard The Young and the Restless mentioned.
Right.
Both those shows have been running for over 50 years, so it's kind of crazy to think that those were the same shows my mom was watching when she was a child.
I just read an interview with Eric Braeden, who plays Victor. He's one of the leads on Young and the Restless. He's been doing that part for 50 years.
I mean, that's probably a third generational show now.
Absolutely.
And 30 million people watched Luke and Laura's Wedding. I can't believe you say Young and the Restless.
It was a big one.
Oh,
it
my
was a big
God.
One. We got a couple of minutes left. If you want to share your story, your favorite soap, 855-752-4842.
Matt in Richland Center listening in, says, one of my earliest childhood memories was Reva driving off the bridge on Guiding Light. Jane is in hog heaven right now. She's loving every minute of this.
I just think about some of the storylines and dual personalities. We just don't have enough of that anymore.
No. And if you want to watch a great parody, a great roasting of soap operas, the movie Soap Dish. Whoopi Goldberg, Sally Field.
Kevin Kline.
Elizabeth Shue. Robert Downey Jr.
It's,
oh, my God.
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant. All right, coming up, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing on the Other Side, One Toke Over the Line edition. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down.
iZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. iZERVAY, or Avacincaptad pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA.
Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just want to do a couple more. We were talking about your story. What is your story? Talking about soap operas, We Forgot All My Children.
And it just reminded
that Liz from Saukville texted him.
How many soap operas they were on back
then? Oh, yeah,
they
were huge.
My God.
Yeah, they were huge. Now I think, are there three left? Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives.
All My Children.
And All My Children, that might be it. That might be it.
If you want to clue us in, 855-752-4842, and thank you for reminding me of Dark Shadows. I'm gonna go back and watch that this afternoon and have some laughs. Coming up tomorrow is Thursday. Mm-hmm. That means Jim Santel will be here, our friend and colleague, and also host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. He is an attorney and a former U.S. attorney. Just a couple things for us to talk about.
Just a few.
With Jim tomorrow, we have some super hot weather that is going to be coming our way. So Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will join us at 10:20 for a little weather and wine. And Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company, he is their sports guru, and he's going to join us to talk all things sports tomorrow at 10:35. So I hope you can join us. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This from KXII.com. Tom Geftos and Dorothy Sadovic with the bylines. From Monroe, Michigan, a reported Bigfoot sighting has become the talk of the town, even prompting a local pot dispensary to offer a discount. The Bigfoot sighting allegedly happened near La Plaisance Road in Monroe County, Michigan, in May. A 47-year-old man, referred to as Edward, said he was bow fishing with his 12-year-old son when they heard rustling in a tree, followed by a huge thud of something hitting the ground. Edward said a big, heavy animal hit the ground and crouched before it started to move toward them. Edward says his dog then went after the creature, which ran off. The dog chased it up a slope before he could get his dog back. The creature appeared to be a large primate about 6 feet tall with dark fur, had two legs in a hunched position. Edward's son said in the report it was as big as a bear but looked like a gorilla. The encounter lasted about 10 seconds. Neither of them thought about taking a picture. Okay. I've heard a lot of talk about it. In fact, when I first heard about it, I was in Baltimore. Monroe resident Bob said, I heard about it and I thought, oh my gosh, I leave for a week and look what happens. Bigfoot shows up. One local pot dispensary is capitalizing on the publicity by offering a discount for anyone who brings in photographic proof of Bigfoot. Unique Cannabis has a sign outside of their store that says, quote, bring photo proof of Bigfoot for a free pre-roll, unquote.
I don't know what that. Does that mean so they make it for you?
And it's
you
a rolled up joint.
Oh. Well,
it's a pre-rolled joint.
I don't know anything.
Young people have told me this.
Drip.
I don't know how I know this. This is not the first time a reported sighting of Bigfoot has occurred in Monroe, Michigan. Apparently, stories of the Monroe Bigfoot have existed since the 1960s. As of yet, no photographic proof. Because, again, when you're out, no one's got a camera when they're out anymore. You'd never think to take a picture of this large gorilla-like creature crouched in a tree that your dog chased.
What happened, sir? Well, man, we went to Unique and we got some stuff. I'm not going to talk about that. But then we went in the forest and we were doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, a big, like, looked like my dad fell out of a tree.
It's like Bigfoot, man.
Yeah, man. So it's like, we didn't take a picture because the pictures steal your souls, man. You don't understand. We're in the Matrix.
I would just think that by now someone would have caught a picture of him.
That's my biggest criticism of the whole thing. And man, nothing gets Bigfoot Sasquatch enthusiasts more angry than that question. And I'm not trying
Why no one's managed to get a photo yet?
Exactly.
Really?
Yes. Because it's like, hey, flat earthers, I have like one piece of proof and it's incontrovertible. Sorry. And they're like, you don't understand, man. I'm like, oh, you're right. I don't.
Calvin.
See, what you guys aren't understanding, Shane and Craig, is the prevailing theory is that Bigfoot is not actually a terrestrial creature but a interdimensional being, and that's why no one can find him, is because he travels time and space through portals.
Of course he does.
Bigfoot isn't out there, man. You gotta find the Bigfoot in your heart.
I would be more likely to believe that he was a vampire and he doesn't show up in mirrors and therefore you cannot catch an image of him on a camera.
Just go home and watch Dark Shadows. My God.
You know where I'll be this afternoon. All right, that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. And I say this every day as a reminder to myself as well. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next. Tom Hartman then from 11 to 2. Todd Alba 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn 4 to 6. Pete Schwabe and Nightlight 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll see you tomorrow.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News Special Report, I'm Wayne Cabot. The Supreme Court says states have the right to ban gender-affirming care, such as hormones or surgery, for minors. The 6-3 majority ruling that the Tennessee ban does not violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and that the issue should be subject to elections and the democratic process. James Sample, law professor, Hofstra University.
I think what it means is that the Tennessee legislature's judgment is not necessarily the judgment of the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court's judgment is that Tennessee and states like Tennessee get to make those judgments for the individuals.
Chief Justice John Roberts writing for the majority, liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor for the dissent, saying that she does so in sadness, adding the court, quote, abandons transgender children and their families to political whims. The court also okaying plans to store spent nuclear fuel rods in Texas and New Mexico. This is ABC News.